Hey, welcome to Life in the Leadership Lane. I'm your host, Bruce Waller, where I get to talk to leaders that are making a difference in the workplace and in our communities. What did they do to get started? And what are they doing to stay there? Oh my goodness, are you in for a treat today as I have another special guest. Today, I'm getting to talk to Summer Moon. Summer is the Executive Vice President of Talent at Shift Key. She has also recently been recognized as the 2024 Dallas North Chamber HR Professional of the Year. I'm so excited for you. Hey, Summer, how you doing? So glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited about the opportunity to just kind of talk leadership and spend some time with you.
Oh, man, I love talking leadership, especially from high performers such as yourself. I want to just real quick, I always like to reflect with my guests. So most of them I've met, there's been a few that I haven't met, but I like to reflect on, like, when did they come into my path? For you, it was recently at the Dallas HR, HR Stars Gala. I remember meeting you. I think Marcus had actually introduced us at your company. And I think you are the one that actually took our picture. But I remember meeting you and just thinking, man, she's got incredible energy. Do you remember that? And what'd you think about that event?
I do. That event was so amazing. That was my first year to go. My director of Total Rewards, she is actually part of the Dallas HR group, does a lot of volunteering. She helps with HR Southwest. And so she actually nominated us and put this forward for us to recognize the team as a whole. And we're so grateful. The team is amazing. This is one of the best teams I've ever worked with. So it was really great to be able to recognize them at that gala.
That's fantastic. We're going to talk about high-performing teams in our conversation. Before we get started, I would love for people who don't know who Shift Key is, would you mind sharing like a little bit about Shift Key and how do you serve your customers?
Yeah, I would love to. So Shift Key, it is so unique. And, you know, our entire goal is to really disrupt, you know, kind of your normal healthcare staffing. And so really it's a technology marketplace that connects healthcare facilities that have open shifts. So whether it's a nurse, an RN, a CRN, you know, those really certified and licensed professionals with independent healthcare professionals who can fill those shifts. So at the core, what we're really doing is disrupting the healthcare marketplace through a workforce that is empowered to work how, when, and where they want. So it's really unique that it's giving the opportunity for some of these professionals to work when they wouldn't be able to work normal traditional jobs.
I love that. I love all of that. And salute to our healthcare workers who do such a great job. As I was looking at your organization, the word that came out to me was connector. Like you're a connector of these, of people and organizations, professionals, and being able to help them navigate. I love all that. Hey, before we get into your story, I do want to just touch on this, this HR professional of the year. Like, I would love to know, because I remember when I saw you won that, I was sitting with John Hagan when I was the president of Dallas HR. We were invited to attend the North Dallas Chamber and they gave away that award. And I thought that was such a special event. And of course, Dallas HR gives away, you know, our awards, but for to be nominated and then to actually be the recipient. Talk about that. Like, what was that like? How did that make you feel? And talk about that.
Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere for me. Mm-hmm. It was super interesting. So it's through Ogletree Deacons, who really, I think, you know, manages and runs that process. And it was really just interesting to have conversations with the individuals. So the selection process, you get nominated and then you speak with a few individuals at Ogletree Deacons, kind of talk through your experience as HR. I really talked a lot about the growth and development that we've had at Shift Key over the last couple of years and a little bit about my path. And, you know, was nominated and announced as a finalist alongside some very amazing other finalists as well. So Suzanne and Thomas, who also have very interesting and amazing backgrounds. And so just to be able to hear their stories, to be in a room of HR professionals, was just an honor in itself. And then to be announced was totally surprising. I was not expecting it at all. You know, so did not prepare a speech, but we winged it. And then we had an amazing panel discussion, which I thought was one of my favorite parts of that event, is you get to sit down with the three of us, those finalists, and just talk through our experience, how we feel about HR. And that was honestly my favorite part of that event. And then, you know, it was announced that I would be giving a keynote speech at the HR conference in about a month. And so after just a little bit of panic set in, then I said, nope, we are going to grab this opportunity and take it. And so it's been interesting. It's been a little bit of a ride.
I love all of that. Isn't that funny? Oh, by the way, you're going to be the keynote speaker as your reward here. I love that. You know, I actually just published a book called Drive with Purpose. And one of the things I talk about is I was sharing a story basically about Tom Brady, the quarterback. And he talked about how he learned from other quarterbacks. And it just like resonated with me as you're sharing about your favorite part was the panel. And I talk about quarterbacks learn from quarterbacks, leaders learn from leaders. And I love that as well. And so as you shared that, I'm like, I can resonate with that, because whenever you're on a panel, you're sharing perspective, but you're learning from others on the panel, right?
Absolutely. And we all are in different sort of spaces and industries. Mm-hmm. And so how they are tackling DE&I, you know, some of the challenges, some of the focuses are all different, but they all 100% resonate because we're all facing the same challenges at the same time.
You know what? The other reason why I wanted to bring up about you winning this award, because I was listening to a podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts and I'm a sports guy. So I was listening to, it was actually Deion Sanders. He was being interviewed, and the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. A lot of people know who Deion Sanders is. And he was talking about, they were talking about learning from failures or success. And he said he learns from success. And I was thinking about, you know, when you're recognized for an award like that, HR Professional of the Year, to me, that is an award that says, hey, you're doing great things. You need to keep doing that. What are your thoughts on that? Learning from success or failure?
I think it's a little bit of both. The inevitable is that we will make mistakes, but it's how you take and learn from those mistakes and turn them into opportunities moving forward. I'm not afraid to make mistakes and then own up to them, which I think is like you have to, as a leader, say, oh man, hey, that probably wasn't the best way to do that, but let's take this as an opportunity to pivot. I think agility and being able to pivot as in HR in general, but as a leader, is such a critical skill set. And so I think I learned just as much from those successes as I do from those failures.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell people all the time, we don't do things to be recognized, but isn't it great to recognize people that are making impact. And I just love that. Hey, well, I want to get into the Summer Moon story. Like, talk about, like, where did you grow up and how in the world did you get into leadership and talent acquisition?
So I actually grew up in Carrollton, Texas. So here in the DFW area, to Newman Smith High School, and then ended up at UNT. So stayed local for college. I went to Brookhaven for a little bit. I'm sure most people familiar with the area know, you know, while I was kind of figuring out my life. Ended up at UNT, ended up in business program. And at the same time, I was starting to work part-time at a recruiting company who's no longer around. They have since, you know, been dissolved. But it was my first sort of taste into like recruiting and HR, and just sort of started to take up and pick up those HR tasks and realized I kind of like this. The reason why is I think it balances and kind of combines my love for like people and all of that, but also that critical thinking, problem solving, logical brain component. And I get to, it's the best of both worlds for me. And then, you know, my mom was in HR too. So I guess it just a little bit runs in the family. I never thought that's where I would end up. You know, I think I'm going to be a marine biologist. That didn't pan out. But HR, I think, has given me so much opportunity and growth and perspective of just navigating employees and people and all that.
Isn't it amazing how you don't really think about that. And then all of a sudden you get through your college. Now you're serving HR and you're like, this is the best profession ever because you get to serve with people. Like everything is
Absolutely.
about people. It always is about people, always will be about people, right? And so now here you are serving. Like, but I want to ask you this. As you like, here you are, you're a top level leader, and you didn't just just wake up one day and get there. You had to go through the process. I'm curious, were there any mentors that helped you along the way? And if there were, what were some of the traits that made them such a great mentor?
I've had a ton of great mentors, and quite a few of them have happened to also just be the best bosses I've ever had. And so I have a few. So Jorge Hughes, Sandra Whipp, and Karen Clark, just to name a few. And I think the traits about them that really drove me to be better were that they challenged me. They, kind of pushed me to be the best version of myself. And they, in that sense of like challenging, they make you look at different perspectives. They open up your mind to understand, maybe think about this, or maybe think about this. And as you sort of start to get those skills yourself, that's where I think that leadership comes in, is being able to lean into being able to challenge even yourself and people around you to think bigger, to think better, to grow and be empowered. And the other, I think, key trait was that they allowed me to be authentically who I was and encouraged me to be authentically who I was, which is, can be a little bit quirky, but it opened up the space for me to trust them, for me to feel safe to, kind of come to them with problem solving, come to them with issues, and we worked it out together. And so that would, those traits really stand out for me as how they developed me into the leader that I am.
I love that. I love all that. I wrote down challenge, different perspectives, and authentic. I got to tell you though, when you're going through the process as a young professional and someone starts challenging you, that can be difficult, can't it? Like, how did you get through that? Because I mean, there's, a lot of times when someone challenges, you're like, hey, wait a minute, I see it from a different perspective. How are you able to? I'm just curious how you're able to kind of shift that perspective. And I want to share that because there's probably some listeners right now that are taking notes like me. I already have a full page, by the way, that are taking notes that are saying, you know what, I'm being challenged right now. Like how did she handle that? How did she push through that?
I think a lot of it was in how they challenge, right? Just like it doesn't come from a space of like ego where they're like, you're entirely wrong. It came from a space of, okay, but what if we thought about it this way? What other benefits would come from if we thought about it this way? Or challenging, but the risk here is this. And so they added all of these like different perspectives to think through. And then at the end of it, you have this collaborative brainstorming sort of session of, okay, now we're coming at it with the right approach that, is inclusive of all of these different perspectives. So, there was a lot of like no, but, and yes, and sort of like conversations around it, which challenges you to step out of your ego a little bit as a leader. Because I think sometimes leaders can get into that ego sort of approach of like, I know best. And your kind of solution might be the best, but let's think about other solutions. And we end up at the end of it with what is the best.
I love all of that. That's absolutely fantastic. And you mentioned being authentic. I think that's a big word today, right? We're talking about empathy, we're talking about being authentic, and I think more leaders are trying to like they're opening they're being more open to listening to different perspectives and letting people be who they want to be. Hey, I do want to ask you this though. I wrote a book years ago, my first book called Find Your Lane. And it was really about there's all these different ways of having success. You just have to find what works for you. And it's more about your calling, your purpose. I'm curious, like going on this journey to where you are today, was there a moment or were there moments when you said, you know what? I found what I love. I love that. I love HR. I love everything about it. I'm in my lane. Any thoughts on that?
I think there are those big moments, but a lot of it for me is made up of those small moments over time. So whether it's, you know, being able to help an employee navigate a really hard situation and be there for them and be a listening ear, or it's, you know, you have an employee and they leave and they get this position that they've really loved because they had the space to develop into who they are supposed to be. So it's made up of over those small moments for me over time of just being able to leave something in people better than, you know, I found them and help them find their journey along the way.
That is fantastic. I was actually sharing this with someone just the other day, how a lot of times when we lean into our purpose, right, we're in our lane, when we lean into our purpose, a lot of times we don't even get to see the results. We just are leaning in because that's who we are. That's how we want to lead. And but there are times where we're like, oh my gosh, look at, you know, this person that I was able to help navigate, like you mentioned, into through a hard situation or in another job or whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden it just kind of gives you this like fulfillment, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then there are the big moments, right, where our team gets nominated and recognized, you know, and so those are the big moments where you're like, okay, we're doing something right here.
I love that. Oh, that's so good. Oh my goodness, this is so good. Hey, I want to talk leadership with you. And one of the things I'd like to ask my guests on the show, when it comes to leadership, if someone said, hey, Summer, what's leadership to you? How would you respond to that?
For me, leadership is inspiring others and giving them the space to be the best version of themselves, right? So as leaders, we have to be able to motivate our teams through not only the great times, but also those super challenging times. And how do we show up for them? So one of my favorite books is called Primal Leadership by Daniel Goleman. If you haven't read it, it's amazing.
Okay.
Talks about emotional intelligence in leadership. It's really interesting because it's a totally different perspective about leadership. Is as a leader, your intention is to help build those underneath of you, take care of those that you are leading, create a space of like safety and trust, because if your employees trust you, they will follow you. They will, you know, be the best version of themselves for the betterment of the team. And if you don't have that trust, and if you have dissonance and you create this space, they'll follow you for a little bit, but then they will exit and go somewhere else where they are celebrated and supported.
I love that. That's fantastic. I wrote down Primal Leadership. So I'll put the link in the show notes for people that are listening. Hey, well, let me ask you this question. What, you know, you played a lot of different roles in HR. Today, yeah. Today you're the EVP of over talent. Talk about, what do you enjoy most about your role in as part of HR?
You know, I think we've had the really unique opportunity at ShiftKey to be able to develop a lot of our programs from the ground up. So, you know, in 2022 it was hyper growth year. We had like 370 people. It was just a massive amount of work. And so the unique position that I'm in now is to help continue to build the infrastructure that allows our employees to feel like this is the place for them, feel like they have career growth, feel like they have a place to stay and that they can trust the organization. And our talent team is just driving towards making those programs happen. We are, you know, people for people. And that is, you know, our approach on HR and just approach for how we partner with the business. And so the role that I have now is to help drive that and, you know, for you, drive that purpose. For our team and for the organization.
I love that. I'm sure you're inspiring along the way. Hey, I do want to ask you though, and I like to ask my guests, is there anything you're like being challenged with right now? Maybe a challenge or a couple of challenges in your, I mean, obviously, you know, talent in the workplace, it's a big subject for SHRM as they are continuing to talk about different programs. I've heard a lot lately about advocacy around the child care, because they're trying to get workers to, you know, in the workforce, female workers. Any challenges that you see that you are like, hey, this is kind of a challenge in our space right now?
Yeah. So being in the tech industry, so even though we have a healthcare component to it, we are a tech company. It's So we have a lot of engineers. We have, you know, if you look at the generations that are in the workforce right now, and, you know, 27-year-old is looking for from an organization is completely different than what my parents looked for from an organization. And so the challenge is really around engagement and understanding what are employees looking for? How do we retain our employees? How do we build programs that retain? And as you've kind of seen some of the volatility in the tech space, you know, we want to keep those employees. We want to make sure that they trust the organization, that we have transparency around how we're doing as a business, why we're doing the things that we're doing. So that really is our challenge, especially sort of still being newish as a company and working to get marketplace share and, you know, working on employer branding and all of those other challenges that we have along the way.
I love that. I wrote down build programs for retainment. And I love that you shared that, because I'm talking about that all the time. Even for me as a sales executive, I'm talking about even customers, you know, retainment. It's the, you know, you find whether it's an external customer or an internal customer, an employee, you've already got them in the organization. So a lot of times we get them in the organization, then we get on to other things and we don't realize, like, they're your most valuable assets. They are the ones that are going to move your company forward. And so I love how you're focused on that. I want to talk about ShiftKey, your team members, for a second, because I got to meet several of them. Of course, Marcus Unigby, I mentioned him earlier. I've known him. Our kids went to school together. And so I've known him for a long time. He's got great, great, great energy. What was it like? Like, you've got a pretty big team. What was it like to have everybody together at that gala event? Talk about that.
I mean, I can't really even put into words how proud I am of this team, just in all of the work that we've been able to do, and really the collaboration that we've had across the team. So we have, you know, individuals that are focused on HR business partners. We've got TA, we have ops, but the important part, and that we've all understood, is that we're driving to the same goal, which is to make ShiftKey the best place to work. And so to develop programs and the interconnectedness and the interdependencies that we all have to understand around everything that we do, the team is so on board. The team is so engaged in that goal and that. And we don't really have a finish line because there's constantly something to do. But, you know, our priorities for the organization and how they align to business goals, and just being really transparent with the team. But to be able to recognize them in that moment and, you know, just be in the same room as these, you know, amazing other teams, the caliber of teams and individuals that was in that room was just amazing. So it was just a really rewarding experience.
Yeah. I love all that. I, as you said, we don't have a finish line. It reminds me of the tagline for Nike. There's no finish line. Okay. We just are going to keep working, keep going, keep serving along the way. Hey, so you had your entire team there, which I loved it. It was a great energizing night. I would love to ask you, like, what makes, I mean, and here you are, you just got recognized as an HR professional of the year. What makes a great HR team stand out? I always talk about high performance teams in the workplace. To you, What makes a great HR team? And for there's people listening right now going, oh, I'm going to be writing this down right here because I'm trying to build out my team. Talk about that.
I mean, I think at the foundation, a great HR team is full of people that care about people. And that you have to start there because a lot of times, especially when people are the business, right? So similar, you know, to ShiftKey, you know, we are expected to come to the table. And I think this is the evolution of HR a little bit too, is we're expected to come to the table with solutions to help grow the business, solutions to help retain and engage employees. And because we sit on this really unique line of employee advocate, business partner, you know, helping the business grow, it provides for us a really unique opportunity to bring a perspective that maybe others in the company don't have. And so I think a really good HR team is one that can think bigger and think More strategically, and then drill down into the weeds about how do we accomplish this? We know we need to do this. How do we accomplish this? And then you start developing and implementing programs and benefits and perks that are aligned to those goals.
That's so good. As you shared that, and you talk about coming to the table with solutions, it reminded me of my, I put this in my last book. I was watching this award show, and it was I can't remember exactly what award show it was, but they were given the Lifetime Achievement Award to Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. We all know Tom Hanks, we've seen his movies. And so as he's going up there, I'm like, I'm very interested in what he has to say here. I mean, this guy's, lifetime achievement. Mm-hmm. And he said, there's something we need to do every day, and that is bring our ideas to the movie set. Mm-hmm. And I heard workplace. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, isn't that true? Like, to really create value, we should all every single day be looking for ideas and bringing those to the workplace. Wouldn't you agree mm-hmm. with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's very interesting, because a lot of times we also bring ideas, and then if the ideas aren't accepted, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden we quit bringing ideas, yeah. and I tell people all the time, if you're going to want to develop influence, you have to be open to being influenced too. It works both ways. So if you're going to challenge, you have to be open to being challenged. We talk about that, right? And yeah. So I tell people all the time, don't stop bringing ideas.
Yeah.
Any thoughts around that?
No, I mean, I think that's great advice. And, I think there's a lot to be said around like grit and perseverance and being drivers for you and continuing to just show up.
Yeah.
Because not every idea is going to be the right idea at the right time. It might be we're not ready for it now, but we might be in 7 months. So let's get this out. So it's never, sometimes it's not a hard no, it's a, okay, not right now. And so just continuing to bring those things. But I think as we start to really understand the business, we start to understand what we're driving for, then you sort of start to bring those ideas over time. And it may be the smallest thing that you may not think about, but it can have such a big impact. It's not just about those like grandiose big ideas. It's also about in moment, just collaborative things where like, if you and I are having conversations, okay, love that, but okay, not quite yet, but. And so just having those open dialogues is so critical to that creative and critical thinking and problem solving.
Yeah, that's so good. Little things lead to big things. Mm-hmm. Keep bringing the little things every day. This is so good. Hey, let me ask you, Summer, what drives you?
I think it's just a constant, like I'm a lifelong learner. So I always want to learn new things. I also always want to solve problems and figure out what is next. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think that's a lot of that drive is just, okay, this is awesome. What's next? And how do we make it better? How do we do things, for people, right? If it's all about people. So, okay, how do we make sure people are taken care of? So it's just constantly like asking those questions to myself and driving myself forward.
I want to ask you this. There's probably some people listening right now that are, I don't know, they're in transition.
Yeah.
And it's a tough time for them. And they're trying to figure out how can I move forward? How can I stand out? How can I get an interview, get noticed, whatever the case may be. As a leader, do you have any thoughts around, I don't know, maybe something that you typically will see that, hey, if you, the people that are doing this or maybe work on this and it might help you during your transition, any thoughts around that?
That is such a great question. And I think a lot of it is people figuring out who they are. Mm. Right. So who are they? What drives them? And then being able to then really showcase that through conversation. So if you're in transition and maybe you're interviewing for a job, being able to bring who you are to the table is number one key. And I think if people are authentic with themselves, they will find themselves in situations that make them happy. And just continuing to be true to yourself. And sometimes that may mean stepping back and reevaluating. Sometimes that might mean pushing forward or, you know, maybe taking on challenges that they may not think that they're ready for, but they really are, right? So when we talk about imposter syndrome, show up, show up, push for who you are, push for what you want, and just continue to do that. And the right things will find you and the right things will fall into place.
Yeah, that is so good. I think a lot of times we are desperate, is not the word, but we want it so bad, but yet we know it's not our fit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love what you said. You just got to forget who you are and then be that person, because that's who people are buying. They're buying you for who you are every day. This has been so good. Oh my gosh. Summer, I could talk about this all day long. We have the longest podcast recording ever. I just love that. Hey, I want to, before I shift over to it's time to accelerate, I want to ask you a question around advice.
Yeah.
And you've given great advice this whole show, but have you ever been given any advice? It was just so good. Maybe it was growing up. Maybe it was, early career or late career. It was just so good that you just find yourself sharing that with others.
Oh my gosh, I've had so many nuggets of wisdom passed down to me. I think the one that stands out for me, which is where I, in a moment in time where I sort of shifted my mindset, is like, it is okay to sit back and listen, and listen to understand and value other people's perspectives and thoughts and ideas. And I think that was really the shift for me into leadership of going from, sort of that ego-driven, I have ideas, to, okay, let's start listening to other people's perspectives. And I think that opened up so many more opportunities because people then want to collaborate. They want to take your advice because you're also listening to them and they look at you as a trusted leader and a trusted source because you listen to understand.
That is so good. I gave a presentation several years ago at the HR Southwest Conference, and it was around developing influence in the workplace. And so before I went out and gave that presentation, I sent a question to, I don't know, there are probably 30 or 40 different high performers in the workplace, and said, what's that one trait, that makes a difference? Mm-hmm. And the majority answers were listening.
Mm-hmm.
It was listening. It was, you have to listen, not to respond, right? You have to just listen to be heard. I love all of that, right? And as you think about, different traits, when I think about high performers, they are all great listeners.
Yep.
And oh my gosh.
It's tough sometimes to like lean into that a little bit because you're like, but I want. So you have to like balance that ego to really and listen intently and just open up to different perspectives.
This has been so good. Oh my goodness. Hey, well, we're going to shift to it's time to accelerate. I'm going to ask you just a few fun questions as we conclude the show here. First question I have, here we are, we're in April of 2024 already. So starting Q2, what are you looking forward to?
I think as far as the role goes, it's continuing to build the infrastructure at ShiftKey through programs. And, personally, I'm looking forward to traveling. I've had the opportunity to be to like 18 countries, but I have not seen Yellowstone. So I need to bring it back local and start going to some parks here.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, wait a minute. Did you say 18 countries?
18 countries.
That is fantastic. Oh my goodness. So I have this, I don't know, life list, bucket list, whatever you want to call it. I'm trying to get 50 states here, and Yellowstone, I have yet to get to visit either. That's on my list too.
Yeah.
It looks incredible. Yeah.
So
I'm still, I think I'm like 13 states away from finishing the 50. And okay, now I'm going to get on to my first country. I love that. Oh, this is so good. Okay. One of the things I do like to talk about, I notice that great leaders, they're grateful leaders. What are you grateful for?
I am grateful for just opportunities. This opportunity at ShiftKey came up, a little bit out of the blue a few years ago. And I just am thankful for it every day because I get to work with my amazing team. I get to work with some amazing leaders. And so And I think having gratitude for everything then just creates an environment that brings more opportunities.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. And I'm grateful that you came on to the show today. This has been a lot of fun.
For the opportunity. Thank you.
Hey, well, okay. So I felt a little energy whenever you mentioned traveling. What energizes you?
I love new experiences, whatever that is. So that could be going on a new hike locally and just like getting out into nature and fresh air. Mm. It's trying new food. It's just experiences I love, and it just gives me energy for trying new things.
Mm. So good. So good. Okay. And I think I heard Sarah Blakely one time, former CEO of Spanx, right? Say the more you experience, the more you have to share with others. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so good? Like, yeah, you experience this new food and you're like, hey, you need to try this. Yeah. And so I always encourage people, hey, try something new all the time. Yeah. Okay. This is my last question. This is probably one of my favorite questions. Summer, 10 years older, is around the corner. Mm-hmm. And she's knocking at your door and you're going to go answer that door. What's she going to say to you?
She is probably going to say, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail, because those, kind of like we're talking about, failure creates opportunity. Failure creates knowledge. Failure creates experiences that you then take forward. Try the new things. If it's a new job, if it's a new skill set, if it's a new anything, try anything, because the failure tells you what you do like, what you don't like, what you might be good at. And then just in general, just gives you knowledge.
Mm. That's a wise 10 years older Summer. This has been so good. I love all of that. I have a love-hate relationship, by the way, with failure, because I love it because I know I'm going to learn, but I hate it. Going through that time. This has been so good. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm sure that there's some listeners that heard you share something today. Mm-hmm. And if they wanted to, I don't know, they want to connect with you or follow you, what's the best way that they could connect?
LinkedIn mm-hmm. is the best networking tool, and just opens up so many conversations. So Summer Moon on LinkedIn.
Love it. And when you reach out to Summer, be sure and mention that you heard her on Life in the Leadership Lane. It makes that connection so much easier. Like, oh, okay, I know why they're connecting now, versus I'm not sure why they're connecting. I'll go ahead and connect. But anyway, this has been so good. I appreciate you. Congratulations, HR Professional of the Year. That is phenomenal. Congratulations for being one of the teams nominated for HR Team of the Year at the gala. That was phenomenal, meeting your team and just feeling the energy and just all the goodness that you're doing. I'm so excited for you, and I cannot wait to see what's ahead for you. And I appreciate your friendship. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I've really enjoyed the conversation. Appreciate the opportunity to come on your podcast.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to share it. I'll talk to you later.
All right.